Welcome to Penance in Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Wesley.
And this is the podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not.
Your voice sounds like hell currently.
I'm trying really hard. I'm losing it for some reason. I think it may be allergy related, but I'm not quite sure. But I will get through this. I have my tea with honey made from my dad's beehives, so hopefully that will get us through this process.
I hate the fact that your father has bees.
Wes is deathly afraid of bees, despite the fact that he's not allergic to them.
This is correct. One time I made her stop the car so I can get out and run because there was a bee in the car. And it's not like you could just roll, just like press button, roll the windows down, and it could fly out. No, you had to like hand roll the windows down.
Yeah.
Because her last car was absolute trash.
Yeah.
That was the car that we lovingly referred to as the shit stang.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Rest in pieces, probably.
Probably.
That thing was a hunk of junk. I'm surprised it lived that long.
Me too, honestly.
It couldn't go any faster than 55, and she couldn't go on the freeway if it was windy.
Or it would blow off the highway, yes.
And if you turn on the air conditioning, it would throw rocks at you.
I don't know where it got the rocks. It just did.
It collected them while you were asleep just to throw them at you. So I'm like, nah, bitch.
I have no clue. It just had a vendetta against me, I guess.
I can see that.
Announcements this week. We are switching to an every other week posting schedule for now. Especially during the MK Ultra series, where episodes take on average 23 hours of research for me to write. It's just not feasible for me to do in a week right now. So maybe once the series is over, we'll go back to every week, or once summer is over and I'm done moving, we'll go back to every week. But for now, we're doing every other week.
Yes. And then also, we talked about this beforehand, I forgot, I'm drawing a total blank. We had another one, and I don't remember what it was.
Send us your scary stories to our email address if you want it to be in an episode. They can either be fictional or true stories. Doesn't matter to us.
Oh, and we, Abigail let it out briefly last episode. I'm sure you have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
No, I don't.
But yeah. I'm going to Europe for 3 weeks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But yeah, so
we will try to record ahead so you don't notice that gap whatsoever, but
well, especially with the recording or releasing every other week, that's going to be extremely helpful.
Yeah.
So you only have to record, like, one or two extra compared to, like, four.
Yeah, but if we disappear from social media, which honestly, isn't that strange for us? That's why, because Wes is the only one who does anything on them.
Yes, and also I have a terrible memory. And even though I set reminders in my phone, I do not remember to post there. Because at this point, my brain starts, oh, that just happens. You can ignore it. It's great.
Yeah, and I'm not good at social media at all, so.
Well, neither am I.
Yeah.
We're both trash.
We are both trash. We're trying to get better. I'm trying to get over my fear of having a part of that.
Wait, you're afraid of having a part on social media? We've never discussed this.
It's a discussion for another time.
All right, then.
So, what is your weird, random question of ADHD-ness for the day?
So, what is the weirdest headline you've read? Could be ever, could be recently. While you think of that, I will tell you the one that I actually found less than an hour ago.
Okay.
Uranus experienced a giant pounding, most likely made of rock and ice, roughly twice as massive as Earth 4 billion years ago.
Who wrote that?
I don't know.
And please, God, tell me.
Some guy named Matt Gilligan.
Please tell me that they understood the innuendo of that.
I'm sure they did.
Weird headlines.
I love weird headlines.
I'm trying to remember a single headline. It's just not something that I typically remember. I don't know, like the Florida man meme ones are usually pretty strange.
I was actually talking about this with another group of people literally yesterday. Also, mine updated. Just for gits and shiggles, Abigail, let's look up your Florida man.
Okay.
So, yours is Florida man accused of grabbing his genitals and giving the finger to a man, his 8-year-old son.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, mine used to be Florida man lights himself on fire while chanting gibberish or something like that. Or shouting gibberish. But it updated to, yes, it was Florida man gets caught with, I think it was like 500 grams of weed while trying to steal an airplane to see his girlfriend.
Interesting. So I'm looking up weird headlines now because I'm cheating.
Wow.
I don't remember headlines. I don't remember specific wording of things very well. The funniest one that I've seen so far is Diana was still alive hours before she died.
Wait, what? One more time?
Diana was still alive hours before she died.
Well, yeah. Like, what? Who's Diana? Like, Princess Diana?
Yeah, I think that's what the article is referring to.
Because that's the only Diana that I can think of.
I mean, I'm sure there's, like, a singer somewhere with that name, but that's probably one of the only famous Dianas that I can think of that is not a superhero.
Wonder Woman?
Yes.
Yes, Wonder Woman was alive a few hours before she died.
Yes. Alright, what weird-ass whales are we talking about today?
Okay.
And so, are they as haunting as the mouse whale? And did we post the pictures of the whales?
Yes, we posted the pictures of the whales, and I almost forgot.
Okay.
So one's almost at mouse whale level of weird. Another one's like halfway between normal and mouse whale levels of weird.
Okay.
They're not too terribly weird.
Okay.
I have to find the picture of the one I'm going to talk about. Because they're not in the same order as the pictures.
Why didn't you just put them in your notes?
Because you act like I'm smart enough to think of that. Abigail.
Our organizational structures are very different.
Yes, they are. Okay, so first up will be the sword whale. Not that weird. Just, you know, a big ass fin.
It kind of looks like it's a whale with, like, the Eiffel Tower on top of it.
So, the dorsal fin is able to slice through both and cut them in half, and the fin is between 1.5 to 6 meters tall.
That's definitely taller than me.
That's not that hard, Abigail.
Rude.
I just need to think for a second. This thing's over 18 feet tall sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's about the size of a sperm whale. And apparently it has a very owlish face.
I don't see that.
Yeah, I know. That was just one of those. Is it owlish? I was like, I don't see that, but okay. The eyes are kind of freaky, though. So, one of his nicknames is the brown fish, as you can see why from the picture. Basically, it's just, you know, brown in color. Very exciting.
It's like a brown with brown dots. It's very basic bitch coloring.
No, that has to be like a greenish gray that spells out live, laugh, love.
Gross.
So it's a fast swimmer and apparently can swim faster than the water, which I mean, like, I assume that it would be able to.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't swim faster than the water, then you just drown.
Well, would you drown if you can breathe water?
You would starve to death. Correction.
So it's often accompanied by a smaller whale, its child, that swims underneath it and feeds on scraps.
Well, it definitely can't swim on top of it, or it'd get fucking shanked by the Eiffel Tower on top of it.
Rather than next to it, Abigail.
Oh, right. That's an option, too. Can you imagine trying to be, like, sneak attacking as this whale? Like, you can't do it.
Imagine if, like, you were just swimming, and this thing suddenly just surfaces very quickly and you just get impaled.
Yeah, that would suck.
You'd probably end up drowning because it'd go back down.
Yeah. Fun facts with Wes.
Yeah, so, also, I looked this up. Apparently, regular whales do sleep vertically.
Really?
Apparently that's a thing.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
That's bizarre.
But there you go. I fact checked that one. So yeah,
that's bizarre.
But yeah, so it likes to use that as a weapon and swim underneath other whales, just like cutting it open.
Of course it does.
And apparently whales also beach themselves after being attacked by a sword whale. They're also... Okay, so sword whales are also very wasteful eaters, as they choose to only eat the tongues. And they just leave the rest.
That's like some serial killer shit. Like, ew.
But just only eating the tongues?
Yeah.
So, it does to boats like it does to whales. It just... It, like, cuts holes in the side of big boats, or for smaller boats, it just goes straight through. But encounters with larger vessels can also be harmful to the whale as well.
How?
So, what?
Like, unless you have a cannon, how do you hurt this thing?
So, hold on. Okay. Hey, so, supposedly there's a trading ship from Eastern Iceland that was heading to Copenhagen. And it stopped in the middle of a large pod of whales, and it felt a strong tug coming from below. And apparently, when after the ship moored, they found the fin sticking out of the hull.
Gross.
How so?
So it had, like, tried to impale the ship, and then it had gotten stuck?
Oh no, the fin broke off, from my understanding of the story.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Abigail, get ready for a curse damage, because now we're moving on to the cat whale.
Oh god, don't ruin cats for me.
It looks like a hairless cat and a whale had a baby.
No, it looks like a sea lion.
That is not a sea lion.
Yeah, it is.
And that thing is fugly.
Like, take away the tusks and add a different bottom, and that definitely looks like a sea lion. That definitely doesn't scare me as much as the cat whale.
Mouse whale.
Brain. Brain is not cooperating today. This is not a good open.
So, also, I would just like to add, this bitch meows.
Of course it does.
So, hold on. What are your thoughts on hairless cats? Because hairless cats, I love cats. You know I love cats. Hairless cats kind of freak me out.
I can see why they would be valuable to some people, and I'm okay with other people liking them, but they look fucking ugly to me.
Why would you shave a cat?
Like, I'm sorry, but ew.
Yeah, so cat whales. So they are often described as looking like seals, dolphins, or just straight up whales. So they're a little bit beefier in the front, and they have skinnier tails. Apparently has the mouth like a leopard, the strength of a lion, and the hunger of a dog. And apparently has long fuzzy whiskers. Pardon me, I had burp on its snout. And yeah, so the sound ranges from a purr to a meow to a hiss. So it's literally a cat whale.
Weird. Would it
Imagine
like
if
catnip?
maybe.
Like just taken in like as a defense mechanism, take an entire barrel of catnip with you on your boat, and if it tries to attack you, just like crack open the barrel and throw it overboard, and then the cat whale will just like go and chase after that instead.
I like how you hesitate between cat and whale because your brain was like, these two words do not go together.
My subconscious was just what the fucking throughout the entire sentence.
Almost spit water everywhere. Oh my
Great.
god. So it's fairly small and it's about 8 meters in length.
The very small.
I said fairly small.
Fairly small. That's not small at all.
So apparently, it has a short, rounded head with nodules on the top that resemble ears. And I'm guessing those are like the blowholes.
They kind of look like sea anemones.
Anemones? I mean, not really. They remind me more of like. There's a term for it, and I'm blanking on it. Like, heat vents at the bottom of the ocean. They look like those.
Or sea anemones.
No, Abigail.
There are some sea anemones that look like that.
I do not believe you. No,
Go
they.
to the aquarium.
I've never been to an aquarium.
Aquarium field trip.
All right, let's go right now. I'll finish recording this later.
No.
Yes, we're going to the aquarium.
No, we are finishing recording before my voice abandons me.
I think it's already trying to.
I know, that's why we need to keep moving quickly.
So it has sharp teeth protruding from its upper jaw. Vaguely saber-toothed lion-esque.
Yeah, very canine-esque. Very much like rip your throat out in one bite-esque.
And one guy said that it has boar's tusks, which it does not. Yeah, at least given from this picture. So its flippers are large and have like hooked claws like cats on the end. So it goes around with various large fish, as one does. They are all, sorry.
It looks like it could take down a lot of different things in the ocean.
So, well, one Twitch said that they're gentle. This other one said that they're cruel and vicious. And apparently, they use their speed and agility to swim underneath boats and flip them.
Yeah, I believe that.
Basically, cat whales got the zoomies all the time.
Yeah.
Abigail, do you have the zoomies?
No, but my cat does very often. She'll run into the kitchen and yowl until we call her name, and then she'll come in and demand pets.
So I feel like, I'm here, bitches.
Yes. It's like she goes into another room and then gets scared that someone forgot about her.
Object permanence is a thing. For most people, at least.
Not my cat.
So, there was one cat whale that chased a boat, but gave up after it was outsped by rowers. Like, okay, how slow are these whales they can be outsped by people rowing a boat?
That is pretty slow.
Well, that's known for its speed and agility. So, there's another one that intercepted a ship and remained alongside it, preventing the sailors from fishing and just straight following them. And they decided to not harpoon it in the effort to not provoke it, and it just eventually just disappeared. There was a boat that was attacked by one, and it stuck its head through the hull of the boat, and they managed to push it out and make it to safety despite the damage.
It was just curious. It wanted to see what was on the inside.
It wanted to get into the big box and take a nap.
Because if I fits, I sits?
Yes, if it fits, it sits.
That's very yes. Cat behavior.
Yes, it is very goddamn adorable. I should find my cat after this and hug him.
You were gonna do that anyway.
Yes. I don't actually know where my cat is currently. He's probably hiding on my bed. That's usually where he sleeps.
It's not really a crisis to know where your cat is.
Yes, it is.
Mine is currently sleeping above, in the cabinet, above the fridge.
Oh yeah, I forgot that you let her sleep up there.
I mean, there's nothing up there, so why not?
True. Well, so Abigail grew up in a house where, like, the cats were allowed to, like, walk around on the counters and shit. And that was a foreign-ass concept to me.
Well, yeah, but, like, my parents actually, like, cleaned countertops and stuff, so.
My parents just made all the children do it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, but next we move on to the heatherback. This is probably one of the most whale-looking whales ever.
That is very whale-looking. I think that is the most whale-looking one that we've seen so far.
Yes, but that's a pretty low bar.
Yes. It just looks like a standard whale with, like, a patch of grass on the top.
It reminds me of the lion turtles from Avatar.
Yes.
Oh, but no, it gets weirder, Abigail. It gets weirder.
Of course it does, because it's Penance and Purgatory. Everything always gets weirder.
So, hold on. I skipped a paragraph. So, it's the largest of the whales.
Okay.
So, and then in Icelandic folklore, the only thing bigger than it is the Kraken. And apparently they're often used interchangeably. I could do a whole episode on the Kraken.
Do it.
Released. I still have to do that Cthulhu episode.
Mm-hmm.
I like how I just stopped halfway through saying release the Kraken. Okay, so. Despite it being fucking gigantic, it's not seen very often, and it does not go out of its way to sink ships. Most of the time, it just looks like an island. But also, its eyes are located on the top of it.
Ew. You're like stepping on this thing that you think is an island, and then you see like goddamn eyes looking at you.
Hold on. Hold on to that, Abigail. And so it's looking on its back, giving the impression of circular pools of water. So you go to get water, and suddenly the well just blinks.
Ew.
Sounds like a good way to shit yourself. Is it raining again? It is raining again. It's a very slow swimmer, and it just likes to take naps at the surface. Indistinguishable from an island. So a lot of people just go right up to it and land on it. And eventually it wakes up, and then it just dives back down, and people on it drown.
Yep. But it doesn't seem like the whale intends for that to happen.
No. I don't know why it's still classified as evil, though. But it is, so that's why it made the list.
It's just kind of, like, incidental. Like, oh, I didn't notice they were there. Sorry.
There's some fishermen who stayed on one for 2 days. But they managed to escape and live. Unfortunately. Oh, I forgot about this paragraph. Trying to draw water from the pools on the island is certain to awaken it. It feeds only once every 3 years, but when it does, it engulfs anything in its path, including fish, birds, and whales.
Oh. Yep, that's fair.
So, yeah.
It could inhale, like, everything.
Inhale me, Daddy.
Ew.
Oh, like you haven't said anything cringy.
I definitely have. On this podcast. I definitely have. And yes. I promptly said ew afterwards.
Yes, but I don't have the urge to say ew after everything cringy that I say. Is that a sneeze?
No, that was me chuckling.
Oh. So next up we have the ox whale.
That looks like a cow, not an ox.
It does look a lot like a cow.
Like, it's that just is a cow.
That's a fucking cow.
That is not an ox. Like, it has the black and white spots and everything, and the nose, and the ears, and the face. Like, that is 5,000,000% a fucking cow, not an ox.
I am also a cow, but you don't say anything about me. Also, fuck I will off. Say, I'm so happy that Chick-fil-A canceled Cow Appreciation Day this year.
So you don't have to. So you don't have to deal with it?
No, it is terrible. Cow Appreciation Day is one of my least favorite days of the year.
Didn't it traumatize you?
Yes, I worked 3 of them, I think.
We should probably provide context to people who don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so basically at Chick-fil-A, Cow Appreciation Day is basically if anybody comes in with anything remotely cow-like, they just get, like, a free entree. 1 year, some people came with squid hats, and we said, fuck it, here you go. But yeah, they get, like, a free entree if they do. So it's really, really busy that day, and it's terrible. So there's the context for that. But so, the ox whale. So it's the second largest of the evil whales. And so, it's also inedible, and will show up to you if you say its name out loud.
Interesting.
So, you know, it has teeth, looks like a cow, the head of a cow, cow head shaped head. Do you remember that from last time?
Yes.
When I said a horse head shaped head.
Yes. Despite English being both of our first languages, we're both fucking garbage.
Accurate. So, and it has, like, the things on its head, similar to the cat whale, but they're more like, they look more like cow ears than cat ears.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then, basically, its body kind of, like, tapers off. And it also, like, has no fins, just, like, little, they look like hands, kind of.
It like, looks like hippo legs.
Whale arms. It has whale arms. I'm calling them whale arms because I'm forgetting the name for it. I think it's pectoral fins.
Yes.
But it doesn't have, like, like the whale tail.
No, it doesn't. Most of them don't. They all seem to have like a very pointy tip.
Okay, well, the horse whale does, the red comb does, the mouse whale doesn't, the jumper does, the shell whale does, the fucking sword whale does. Most of them have regular whale tails, Abigail.
Maybe it's just the ones that I remember the most that don't yes, have a regular tail.
Because they scar you. Specifically the mouse whale, because goddamn, that thing is terrifying.
Yes.
Do you have nightmares about the mouse whale?
No.
That's surprising.
My brain has burned it out of my memory.
What it looks like?
Yes.
So you refuse to scroll up in the Discord chat?
Yes.
So, it's not named for its appearance. But, so it has a terrifying bull-like bellow it makes when it's hungry.
Same.
Shut the fuck up, Abigail. You're lucky if you remember to eat when you're hungry.
I don't get hungry, is the thing.
So, it sounds like a roaring angry bull, basically.
Okay.
So, the call of the ox whale can be heard reverberating over very long distances. It also shakes the ground and knocks the oars out of sailors' hands. And going out to sea if you can hear an ox whale is forbidden.
That's fair.
So, it delights killing people on boats, as per the usual. And it also has a particular fondness for beef. So,
really?
Yes, I know. So,
really?
Apparently, its bellow is very hypnotic towards cattle, compelling them to run off of cliffs and run headfirst into the ocean. And then it proceeds to play with them like a cat does with a mouse before biting them in half.
Great.
And it's also attracted to cattle on board of a ship. One harassed the vessel for days until they released the cows on board.
Yeah.
Who promptly dove into the ocean.
Yeah.
And cattle have to be locked up for days before the ox will wander off.
And get distracted by something.
So, cow herding was strongly discouraged in areas where ox whales could be heard. And just generally near the coast.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sacrificing a bull or cow usually satisfies the ox while making it safe to go out to sea again.
Okay.
And I believe. Okay, then now we move on to the last one.
That doesn't look like a whale at all.
It looks like something out of, like, a sci-fi horror movie based in the ocean.
It looks like a shark. Or a dolphin.
I mean, not really. But okay.
Well, what is it then?
So it's the most dangerous and feared of the evil whales.
Of course it is.
So it's inedible. And speaking its name will cause it to hunt you down. As great, per the usual. So the name is derived from the pink or white stripes extending from its eyes to its mouth, and then from its mouth, like, towards its back. And then it contrasts sharply with the black color on the rest of it. So they are cruel, destructive, and spiteful. And they have a really good memory.
Great.
Crows. And they'll hold grudges for as long as they live, tracking down anyone who has escaped them. And they'll flip over boats and tear them up with their teeth and, like, casually beat the shit out of them with their tails.
Just cash.
Cash. So they get under them crosswise and then just, like, this is fold in half, and I wasn't sure whether or not, like, the whale would fold in half or if it would make the ship fold in half.
It would make the ship fold in half.
No, I just like to imagine this thing is like jumping out of the water and like clapping by just like smacking itself together.
Wes is amused by simple things.
I swear I'm sober right now.
My favorite thing is Discord will like filter out 90% of your hysterical laughing, and so it just goes like dead silent. And so that just usually tells me, like, he's hysterically laughing.
That is correct. We'll just cut out the awkward silent parts, but just know that I'm currently laughing my ass off.
I would imagine Audacity picks it up.
Oh, it does. Okay, where was I? There we go. Okay, apparently there's a minister who survived an attack by one. Sorry, I'm trying to not just start dying again. By clinging to the wreckage of the boat. After that, he was not allowed to go out to sea without the whale just tunneling him, basically.
The whale just spent the rest of its life going like, I will find you.
So, another time there was a Danish fishing boat that sighted one of them. Around a glacier. And apparently they were saved by the quick thinking and skill in the dark arts of the captain who dove overboard with a small bag in his hand.
The fuck did he do with the bag?
So, it says exactly what the captain used to repel it was unknown.
There what are some sketchy-ass thing did he have in his bag?
So, there are substances known to be absolutely hated by not only the bridal fish, but other evil whales, such as Angelica, rotting bait fish. This is bilge water, cod liver oil, live fire in a bucket, juniper, this is cow or sheep manure, sulfur, chopped fox testicles, and yarrow, whatever yarrow is.
So he just had a bag of chopped fox testicles in a bag that he labeled for demon whales only, and then he just jumped in and threw them at it?
I guess. I don't know if he came back with the bag or not.
I don't know either.
So, apparently, aside from the whatever live fire in a bucket is, setting fire to them and throwing them overboard was believed to make them more potent.
Great.
It can also be distracted by loud noises and barrels thrown into the water. Or the sun. Just like the jumper from last episode.
Yeah.
And that is all I have for the evil whales. Now that I'm done dying hysterically.
For no reason.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. One time, actually, a couple weeks ago, I made some weird face at one of my coworkers, and I don't know what it was. And then she made a weird face out of shock and horror. And then I laughed so hysterically at that I couldn't stand up. I was just crouching in this corner, just crying because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that.
It happens to me a couple times a year, where I just laugh hysterically and I can't stand up and function.
I know. Okay, now it's time for everyone's favorite segment.
Spooky Fun Fact.
Spooky Fun Fact. So today's spooky fun fact is that Charles Manson, who was the cult leader of the serial murdering group, the Manson family, was raised partially by his mother, and his mother was fucking awful. She once treated Charles as a child to men for a pitcher of beer.
Interesting.
Knowing that Manson would be likely used as a sex slave.
So, for the longest time, I didn't know the difference between Charles Manson and Marilyn Manson.
There's a very large difference.
I was like, why is everybody liking this singer who killed a bunch of people?
No. Not that we know of.
I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't either. Anyways.
Let the bodies hit the floor. I can't think
That's not of Charles Manson.
I know.
Blasphemy! Okay. So today we are back to MKUltra again.
Woo.
This will close out specifically MKUltra, and then we will get to work on some projects that were adjacent to MKUltra. So, welcome back. This is part two. For recap, last episode we covered the kinds of experiments MKUltra did. Some of these were experiments with hypnosis, hallucinogens, radiation, sedation, recordings, disease bombs, electroshock therapy, and stealing and buying drugs from other countries. In this episode, we are going to do more of a clinical analysis of the validity of the experiments, talk about some of the specific victim cases, the internal investigations which cracked MKUltra wide open, and then how, at the end of the day, MKUltra is the cover-up of the century. Thesis aside, let's get into it. So, I would like to start with some info that might be a review for most people who have gone through science in the last 20 years. We are going to chat about the scientific method and what makes an experiment a valid one. First, you ask a question, which leads to the rest of the process. The next step is to do some background research to understand more about the topic. Then you form a hypothesis, which is essentially an educated prediction of what the answer to the question is. Then you establish and follow a procedure for an experiment. The steps must be followed consistently. Throughout the experiment, data should be collected in a consistent and thorough manner. Once the experiment is complete, you analyze the data and use it to form your conclusion. This conclusion should determine whether your hypothesis is right or wrong. Once that conclusion is determined, this will likely lead to further questioning in the real world, because one answer is like killing the head of a hydra. Once you kill one of them, two grows back. In a valid experiment, there are multiple measures to take. All variables must be controlled except for one. Only one thing can change throughout the experiment for the results to be conclusive. So if I'm doing an experiment on which fertilizer will help a certain type of plant grow the best, the amount of sunlight, water, air, soil, etc., that each plant gets all need to be the same for every single plant. If I have seven different kinds of fertilizers to test, I would have at least three plants that have the same kind of fertilizer, so 21 plants with fertilizer, and then three plants without fertilizer to act as a control variable. A control variable shows that what happens in the experiment under normal conditions without treatment. That is what a good setup would look like in an experiment. MKUltra's experiments didn't look like that at all. Keep in mind that experiments on humans are a bit harder to be completely controlled because we cannot control every variable most of the time. But with enough people participating and enough different kinds of people being tested, it can be assumed that the experiment is fairly accurate. In MKUltra, there were no placebo subjects, at least in any documents I or anyone else can find anywhere. Placebos are vital for treatment testing in humans or animal subjects. The placebo effect simply means that people will feel better because they think they are getting treatment, even if the treatment is something like sugar pills, which don't do anything medically significant. So if I were testing a drug that treats something like a rash, I would give a part of that group the actual treatment, and then another part of the group the placebo or sugar pills. This makes sure that the patients are improving due to this specific treatment, and not just because the patients are receiving any treatment at all. MKUltra did not do this. In the few instances where patients got better or the preferred results came about, there was no consistent method to point to as to how we got to that result. Most patients were receiving multiple different methods of treatment. so it would be near impossible to prove which one improved patients. If patient X is being given LSD, electroshock, and is being sedated 20 hours a day, how can you tell which one finally breaks them? The only conclusion that can be made absolutely is that they did break after those things happened. Unless all the clear details of organization of the experiments were destroyed entirely, it seems clear that there is no validity to the results of any of these experiments that were conducted. None of them give good or consistent answers. So much pain and agony for no sure answers. So next, I want to go over some specific victim cases that became highly notable in MKUltra. We're going to talk about Anonymous Rappaport, Esther Schreier, and Frank Olson. So, woman Anonymous Rappaport, Rappaport is her last name. We will call her Jane Rappaport because Jane Doe. So Jane was a 19-year-old girl who struggled in school a lot. She had bad grades, too much energy, and got into trouble quite a bit.
I'm sorry, but you said bad grades.
Bad grades.
Bad grades. Aww.
Tea cannot fix the fact that my brain goes faster than my mouth. Okay. So her family decided to send her to Dr. Ewan Cameron, one of the men who led the MKUltra projects. Side note, I'm eternally glad that his first name contains the word ew in it because it's perfect.
You also said that last episode about some guy with that name.
Yeah, because it's the same guy.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Cameron had her admitted to an inpatient program where she would be locked up 24/7 for a while. Nowadays, inpatient programs involve a lot of psychotherapy, art therapy, activities therapy, and group therapy. Patients are typically medicated to some degree while they work through trauma. The goal is that once the trauma has been processed and no longer hurts so bad, they will no longer require as many or any medications to remain stable. That being said, there are obviously some conditions which are severe enough or due to physical issues which will forever require medication. In the era of MKUltra, that is not what inpatient programs looked like at all. Jane was given LSD along with high levels of electroshock therapy. The treatments were longer and more frequent than would be safe for anyone, especially a 19-year-old girl whose brain is not fully developed yet. By the time Cameron declared her treated, Jane had no memory of her life before the asylum and did not have the mental capacity to take care for herself ever again. She was never able to take care of herself again and spent most of the rest of her life in other treatments for mental programs.
How long was she in that one place for?
It didn't say. I would guess several months.
Who doesn't love taking copious amounts of LSD unconsensually?
And to make matters worse, her family had paid thousands of dollars for this treatment. And what it did was take someone who was behaving like an average teenager with a learning disorder and turn her into someone who had no hope of ever functioning again. In no universe is this a treatment plan that would be recommended by a good professional psychiatrist. They would likely recommend some testing to be done by a special education teacher and a cognitive analyst. Then cognitive behavioral therapy and maybe some tutoring would likely help her significantly. None of that would include LSD or electrocuting something that wasn't really broken. I cannot find any indication that Jane had any major mental illness before she got near Cameron. As we discussed last episode, electroshock therapy, or ECT, is useful for the treatment of severe major mental illness. It cannot treat things like developmental disabilities or learning disorders. And LSD is not something people without completely developed minds should be using. The average human mind isn't developed until the age of 26. I believe people at the age of 18 can consent to doing drugs of their own free will. However, in this case, Jane did not get a choice. Once she was committed to the inpatient program, she no longer had a choice what happened to her life. Her life was destroyed for nothing. Next patient was Esther Schreier. Esther Schreier was pregnant with her fifth child when she sought out treatment for what would today be considered postpartum depression and anxiety. Postpartum depression and anxiety are both very, very normal. Around 50% of new moms experience a very mild form of it, and 10 to 20% of women experience a more moderate or severe form of it. Like I said, incredibly common. Very normal for anyone giving birth or anything like that to experience. Her first child had died of an infection soon after being born, and she felt an incredible amount of guilt and grief over that. That level of pain would be completely normal for her circumstances. She should have been told that, and she never was. Once admitted, she spent 30 days sedated in a sleep room. She would be in a drug-induced coma and only woken 3 times a day for bathroom breaks and meals. She lost 13 pounds that month and the strength to walk. Cameron's goal was to break the patient's mind down to a childlike state so he could rebuild them. Essentially, Why do I write such complicated sentences?
Why do you? You know you wouldn't be able to read them.
I don't know why. That's a lot of S sounds, and that is the sound that my stutter has the most trouble with. Fun fact. Essentially, he sought to shatter their sense of identity and understanding. That sentence is just masochism. I don't know what I was thinking there. This is also done by extreme cults. She had to listen to recorded messages throughout the entirety of those 30 days on repeat. It would have been torture. By the end of those 30 days, notes described her as mute, incontinent, which basically means she was unable to control her bowels or know when she went to the bathroom, and she also had trouble swallowing. All of this while she was pregnant. This is a horrible position to put a pregnant woman in. Despite this, they continued these treatments even after those 30 days, because Cameron wasn't done yet. He had many instances where she experienced gynecological emergencies, like bleeding from her vagina, that would typically mean get her ass to the hospital, something is wrong. Instead of doing that, they just had her rest, and then a few days later, they would begin to sedate her and do the same thing over and over again. She was finally released when she went into labor. Esther had to relearn how to do everything, even things like boiling water. Her baby, luckily, only experienced mild cognitive delays. Esther struggled to live the rest of her life. She had a nurse who would come in and help her during the day, and the nurse would have to leave her instructions when she was gone. Instructions like, if the baby cries, go to him, and then gave a list of ways to figure out what the baby needs and how to give it to the baby. Esther's executive functioning abilities were completely gone. Executive functioning is the part of our brain which, once our brain recognizes an issue or a task, figures out the steps to solve that task. Someone without executive functioning skills might be able to notice that the light is not turning on when the switch is flipped, but they won't know to replace the bulb. They might wander around looking for a solution, or they might just simply stare at it trying to figure it out. But their brain cannot form an action plan to follow to try and figure it out. Despite the bullshit she had to go through, she managed to live till 84, and her youngest son is still successful and alive despite the fact that he had to go through all of that while he was a fetus.
What a legend.
Yes. Our last victim for the day.
For the day.
For the day. Is Frank Olson. This is the big one with MKUltra. Frank Olson's story could at minimum be its own episode, if not its own series. There is an entire TV series on Netflix called Wormwood about Frank Olson and the end of MKUltra. And I would highly recommend watching it if you want more information. It's really good. I definitely intend to fully cover Frank Olson's death at some point as maybe a standalone episode, but today I will only cover cursory details because we just got way too much to cover. So Frank Olson was a bacteriologist and biological warfare scientist for the CIA. He worked on the experiments which tested diseases in Project Artichoke. During Artichoke, he worked alongside the Korean War efforts and became convinced the US government had used biological weapons that Olson had helped create. This messed with his head because he didn't want them to be used against people, especially innocents. Olson, from all indications and writings, was a man with very strict internal morals. Seeing the US government use diseases on innocents like women and children made him feel a lot of doubt for the government he was working for. So somehow the CIA found out about this because they know everything ever. Rather than dealing with it like the CIA usually does by further indoctrinating the agent, the CIA tried a new approach. Olson became another subject for MKUltra. They told his wife that Olson was experiencing deep depression and that he needed intensive therapy. They took Olson to the Statler Hotel. Sidney Gottlieb, Robert Lashbrook, and Harold Abramson were all aware of this. Gottlieb had dosed Olson with LSD before, in another experiment. They began to do so again to see if they could alter his memories and erase any of the ones that involved the US government using diseases in the Korean War. They combined that with hypnosis therapy done by Abramson. Lashbrook was Olson's handler and stayed with him at the hotel pretty much 24/7. November 28, 1953, at 2:25 a.m., Olson went out of the window of the 10th floor of the hotel. He died on impact. Olson's death would go on to be classified as a suicide, but it has often been a questionable conclusion. The window was 4 feet off the ground, so Olson would have had to jump and dive through the window. There was no ledge to jump. This would have been a difficult jump to make in the first place, and a far cry from the easy suicide that most suicidal people would take. There were other issues that Lashbrook and his team had clear notes that Olson wasn't feeling well, and they still accepted the 10th floor room in the first place, despite the fact that the hotel had an existing policy to put patients with a history of mental illness on the first floor. And also, Olson didn't have a history of depression in the first place. When they went through his old journals and everything like that, they couldn't find any indication that he had suffered from depression. And when he had last talked to his wife, he had sounded very cheerful and very happy and ready to move on to the next phase of their lives together.
Sounds like some sketchy foreshadowing to me.
Yes. Add that to the fact of how difficult this jump would have to make and the fact that you would have to be very athletic and very determined to make it. It just didn't seem to add up. So, the Olson family was very unwilling to accept the conclusion of suicide for good reason. They continued pushing. At some point many years later, they exhumed the body, and a blow to the head was found. It was caused right before Olson died.
Oh.
And it would have made him unconscious, but it would not have killed him. But if he was unconscious, there's no way he could have jumped through the window. So, the internal investigation done by the CIA, which had to be done because there was a death like this, and they had to bring in other agencies as well, determined that the LSD led Olson to commit suicide due to hallucinations. Another victim of the MKUltra experiments had died in a similar way of jumping from a high place after being dosed with LSD repeatedly. This was... Frank Olson's death was one of the main reasons that the CIA had to come clean about MKUltra, because Frank Olson, unlike other subjects of MKUltra, was well known to other agencies as well as the public, because he had worked closely with, like, secret services and the FBI and the NSA and all of those other groups. He'd worked very closely with them during his efforts. And so him doing this would be strange to all of them. So the Supreme Court made a decision along with Congress to form a committee to do an investigation into MKUltra and these experiments. And this was when the CIA began to realize this is coming out, this is coming down. People were starting to put the pieces together because, again, this was not the first death where an agent who worked for the CIA died from jumping up from a high place. He had LSD in his system, and then his family received a mysterious pension, and the CIA wouldn't talk.
Creepy.
Yes.
Sketchy. There we go.
So, like, reporters and stuff were like, there's something. So they began to dig, and the CIA finally realized this is gonna come down. So they made a plan. The CIA knew that there were pieces of MKUltra that would be more reportable. Things like LSD and hypnosis could be covered on the news, whereas descriptions of electroshock and details of specific diseases cannot necessarily be in 1970s conservative media. Also, things like the army dropping toxins on subways and large populated cities would make it so people would never trust the government again. So they chose wisely. The most information released would be about LSD and hypnosis, and that information would be released first. Most people would be interested at the beginning for a short period of time. After that, interest would fade. So the worst would be released last, when the smallest amount of people would still be paying attention. There would also be many pieces of misinformation released at first to discredit the latter information. Project Chatter, Bluebird, and Artichoke would be hidden until the late 80s, like 20 years after they started releasing some of this information, when people really no longer cared or talked about it. And it worked. When people think of MKUltra, they only think of LSD and hypnosis. The information is definitely out there for people to find, but the way it was spread made sure that people didn't care enough to find it. No one cared enough to dig deeper, because no one knows what else is out there, or what other crap we still don't have access to. MKUltra will be an unsolved mystery forever, because the information is destroyed. We have so much and so little at the same time. Hundreds of lives were ruined, and they did not get any compensation for their destruction. So far, there have only been 14 victims' families that have been compensated for the deaths of their loved ones by the CIA, despite the fact that there have been so many more deaths as a result of these experiments.
I'm sorry, but all I can think of when you say compensation is the mesothelioma commercials.
Oh my god.
For reference, there's this commercial that would play all the time when we were younger. And I was like, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with mesothelioma? And that's really all I remember. There's something about working in shipyards and asbestos.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to me how, other countries don't have advertisements for medicines and stuff on TV.
Yeah. The U.S. is whack.
Yes. Anyways. MKUltra is just another blip in history now. We watched the Nazis in horror, and yet our government decided to do the same goddamn things with the same goddamn people. I can hope people learn from others' poor choices, but history will repeat until we are willing to talk about it. And at this point, the majority of the U.S. public doesn't even know about it to talk about it. So next episode, we're going to start talking about some MKUltra adjacent projects, and then we're going to start getting into more of the supernatural sides of the CIA projects that they did of experiments on things like astral projection and psychics.
Project Blue Book is mine.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. I see how this is.
It's been in my outline for, 3 months. It's mine. No, it's been in my outline since, 4 weeks into us starting this podcast.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Chief. It's mine.
Why? You've never called me Chief once in either of our lives.
Sorry, babe. It's mine.
Not anymore. I'm gonna do it next week, just to spite you.
Go fuck yourself. That throws off my entire outline. Don't do it.
I'm gonna do it.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
If you would like to see our friendship slowly break down as Wes randomly does things to piss me off, you can further check out our social media accounts.
At Pen and Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
If you want to share your scary stories, either fictional or true, email them to
penanceandpurgatory@gmail.com.
Rate us on Apple Podcasts, and Facebook.
Not Spotify.
Not Spotify. My brain still almost did it. I'm really mad at you.
Why?
It's literally been in my outline since 4 episodes into this podcast.
Aliens are mine, Abigail.
Don't touch psychics. It's mine.
Alright.
Stargate is mine too.
Is it Stargate?
Yeah.
Like the TV show?
Project Stargate?
I've never heard of that one, so you can have it.
That's good.
Okay, then, if Abigail actually lets me finish the outro this time. Have a good day, everyone.
Have a good day. See you later.
Stay safe.
Stay creepy.
Don't get abducted by the U.S. government.
NSA, stay away from our friends.
All right. Bye.